I mean, think about it. We pray, oh God, give me a bigger house. After he does, look how much I gotta clean. You know how much work I have to do around this place. Oh God, I pray that you'll bring people to our church. We come next Sunday. I can't even get a parking space around here. It's crazy. I'm not gonna come to this church no more. I'm tired of this. Isn't that right? We complain if God doesn't answer our prayer, and then we complain if he does.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We all could use a little more happiness in our life. Who doesn't want to be happy? But today, Pastor Wayne will show us it's not really happiness we should be seeking after. It's joy. And there is a big difference. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Regaining My Joy.
Today we want to talk about regaining your joy. Regaining your joy. So I want you to take out your Bibles, and you have a blank sheet of paper there for some notes. I'm going to give you two points that I want you to pick up on. And I want to say welcome to those of you that are streaming via the internet. My wife is going by internet. So honey, I love you. Regaining our joy. We all have difficulties in life. I mean, there's a coworker at the office that's giving you some problems, maybe an insensitive person in school. You run up against people that are always down on everything. Or you face neurotic drivers on H1. Just like a few weeks ago, this car pulled right up next to me. It's like it's about ready to scrape the side of my car. And I wasn't even noticing it. I was just paying attention to myself in my lane. And all of a sudden, he beeps his horn. And you know, when they startle you like that, you get mad. What do you do that for? And the guy sped off. And it wasn't until he went by me that I noticed a New Hope bumper sticker. But it wasn't our campus. It was Manoa. And I looked again, and it was Pastor Rod just laughing. Others that might steal your joy might be people in your own family. Those that are hard to get along with, and they just give you stress. It's so easy to become negative in life and discouraged. But I want you to know that God did not design us to live that way. God did not design you to just have to tolerate your family, put up with your spouse, endure your job. No. Now, the scripture says, now the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But watch this. God says that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Did you know that you were actually designed to enjoy life? That's what he designed. You won't always, because you can't control circumstances, but he designed us to be able to control what's going on here so that we are not a victim to circumstances. He actually created us in such a way that we were to enjoy life. So right now at this juncture, let me make a very clear distinction between happiness and joy. You need to know the difference, because sometimes we just want to be happy. But happiness comes from that word happening, happenstances. It comes from the outside in. When the happenings are good, we are happy. When the happenings or the happenstances aren't good, we're not happy. But we're waiting for the outside in. Whereas joy is not outside in. Joy is inside out. That's why the book of James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. So we're not waiting for these things to give us joy or happiness. We bring it with us. It comes from the inside. If the happenstances are good, then we're happy. The no traffic on the way to work, I'm happy. My boss is treating me better. I'm happy. My wife still thinks I'm awesome. I'm happy. In fact, I have a wife that still thinks I'm awesome. Yeah, you know, I just turned 63 years old a few weeks ago. Yeah, don't clap. And so I was standing in front of the mirror and I was looking at myself and I thought, oh man, what happened to me? Because the things that just have begun to sag has increased in velocity going southward. And it's just everything is starting to sag. And just then my wife comes in the bathroom. So I see her. Oh, and you know how you suck in your stomach? But then after a while, like, oh, this is tiring. Oh, oh. So it came back out. And so I looked at my wife and I said, honey, look at this guy in the mirror. I said, will you still love me when I'm old and fat and wrinkled? She looked at me in the mirror and she said, honey, I do. Isn't she sweet? She's just the sweetest lady. I thought, oh, I'll go marry you all over again. But you see, joy can leak, and it can leak in just a moment. It's gone if you're not careful. So how do you regain your joy? I want to tell you not only how to regain your joy, but how eternally or spiritually important it is for you to maintain that. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, as we conclude this time and series together, I want you to see that he gives us the ingredients of this recipe. He speaks to the people in the first part. In fact, let's read it together, Nehemiah 8:10. And let's read it with our best thespian voices. Are you ready? Go. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Stop right there. He'd been reading the Bible, and or Ezra has been preaching, and the people, some of them were crying. Why? Because God's word is convicting them. But he says, oh, no, don't cry. God's going to give you sweet drink and food. Why? So that you can share with those who have nothing. I want you to remember this. God will fill you up in order for you to fulfill your purpose. God will fill you up in order for you to fulfill your purpose. On the ranch, we have a family ranch in Oregon, and we have different, you know, things like tractors and different things. And I have it's a canister or a air compressor tank. That's about a 20-gallon tank. And it doesn't have a compressor attached to it. It's a portable thing where you hook it to another compressor and it compresses the air in just this tank. It's an aluminum tank. And you just hold it until it gets to about 150, 170 pounds of pressure. And then you unhook it, and it's very light because it's just air, and you can carry it out to the remotest part of the farm and fill up tires or something that's low in air, and you just kind of psh, psh. And it's just a portable thing, but you'll notice that the compressed air goes from 160 to 130 to 120 the more you use it, and then it gets down to 30 pounds, and you've got to go back and refill it so that you can continue what needs to be done, because you can't get these vehicles or farm machinery, because it's got a flat tire or whatever, to the compressor. So you just go out and fill all of these up. And I was thinking about that. That's sort of like us. God is going to have you as you go to work this week, or you go to school, or even in your family. There's people that are going to be deflated, people that'll be defeated and discouraged and distressed. And God's going to fill us up at times just like this so that we can go out and fill that person with inspiration, with encouragement, with a blessing, with a good word. But you see, if we're defeated and we're deflated, we have nothing to give. So God's going to fill us up. No, we're not dependent on circumstances. He says, I want to fill you up. Why? Because there's a purpose to fulfill. I will fill you in order for you to fulfill what I've called you to do, which is you're going to be people that'll be a part of the healing of the nations. That's what the church is. So I'm going to fill you up. So Nehemiah said this. He said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Continue with me, go. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your... Yep, the joy of the Lord is your... And what does it give you? And where does that joy come from? The... Not from circumstances, from the
Lord.
Yeah, you have to understand, joy is different from happiness. Joy doesn't make you giddy. It may not even necessarily make you happy. The joy is from the Lord, and it will give you strength. Sometimes we just want happy. Happy, give me more happy. And we pray, God, give me happy, until the point where we in America, we are addicted to entertainment. We're being entertained into a coma. I mean, even little kids are just being entertained. And so they grow up and they don't know the difference between happiness and joy because they think this is all there is. And then so pretty soon we just want like chicken skin. You know, show me that YouTube again. Ooh, that, oh, that chicken skin. Ooh, give me some more. What's that? Ooh, chicken skin. Ooh, chicken skin. Ooh, look at that, look at that. Ooh, chicken skin, chicken skin. If you keep getting chicken skin, the only thing it's gonna do is make you look like a chicken. That's it. It's not sustainable. There has to be something to sustain you. This is funny. You got time for a story? This is a funny one. This guy went to the psychiatrist and he said, doctor, my brother thinks he's a chicken. I mean, he goes around the house all day long, cluck, 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 like a hen. And the doctor said, oh, I've seen this problem before. In fact, I am known for one who can cure people of this problem in one session. He said, I know, doctor, that's why I came to you. He said, you knew that? Why didn't you bring in your brother sooner? He said, I would have, doctor, but we really needed the eggs. That's all I got, so you better give me more than that. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. So how do we do this? How do we regain our joy? Let me give you two ways. The first is, it's going to be pretty obvious. But would you write down, refill often? See, the more life taxes you, the more you have to refill. Refill often, because he's going to put us in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation among whom we must appear as lights in the world to inspire and encourage and help. And so we've got to refill often, especially in these days. In fact, Ephesians says this in 5:19. It says this. Would you read it with me? Go. Be filled with the Spirit. Pause right there. And again, the Greek doesn't mean just once. Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God. Do not be drunk with wine. In other words, don't try to get artificial external things to sustain you. Don't be drunk with wine wherein it is excess. But instead, be ye filled with the Spirit inside out. Well, how do I do that? We start here. Read it. Go. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to catch that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's an inner conversation that's going on right now in all of your heads. And you have to manage that, because it can go negative very quickly. In fact, we as humans have a tendency more towards the negative inner conversation than the positive. But that inner conversation is important. And we need to be refilled often. And one of the ways is you speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in your heart. And you'll have to refill again and again. It's like a helium balloon. Have you ever gotten a helium balloon at your birthday? Yeah, the first day, it's like, man, it's just filled with just levity. And just, woo, if you let it go, it just goes to Pluto. The second day, woo, man, it might go to the top of the tree in front of your house. By the third day, it's sort of limping along. It's got a broken leg. By the fourth or fifth day, it's laying down in a coma. And by the eighth day, it's passed away. But was there something wrong with the balloon? No, it just leaks. So the Bible says you have to be constantly refilled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, well, how do we leak? I'll give you, here's the biggest cause where our joy leaks out. Are you ready? Complaining. The human tendency is towards complaint and negativity. And each time we complain, or we bellyache, or we whine, or wheeze, it causes our joy to leak out. Because you cannot have the joy of the Lord and be a complainer. You cannot be a cynic and have the, you have to choose one or the other. And it's so easy for us to just start complaining and whining and bellyaching because it's so easy to get on the bigger, the negative side. We complain about everything. We complain if God won't answer our prayers, and we complain if He does. I mean, think about it. We pray, oh God, give me a bigger house. After He does, look how much I gotta clean. You know how much work I have to do around this place. None of you respect me at all. You know how much I work around here. Oh God, I pray that You'll bring people to our church. We come next Sunday. I can't even get a parking space around here. It's crazy. I'm not gonna come to this church no more. I'm tired of this. Isn't that right? We complain if God doesn't answer our prayer, and then we complain if He does. No parking, or if there is, it's too far away. I didn't like where the usher seated me. I should have been seated someplace more better than that. You know how much I give? $5. $5. We just complain and complain and complain. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. You know, we can complain about sermons about complaining. Well, how do you refill? Because that happens. Well, he says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart. You see, we do have inner conversations, don't we? Isn't that right? Some of you, I know you have way too much inner conversation, but how many of you talk to yourself? Raise your hand. Come on, yeah. Yeah. How many of you argue with yourself? Raise your hand. Ooh. Yeah. How many of you lose the arguments? Psychiatrists for you. But there's that inner conversation. But you control the conversation. How many of us have such negative talk on the inside? I can't do that. If she's going to say that, I'm out of here. If this is how it is, don't expect me to come back. What's this? Why are you saying that? That's stupid. And he's just like, you're just criticizing, complaining on the inside, and I bet it's going to come outside sooner or later. Because you're so full of complaints on the inside, there's a cavity in your soul, and it's drawing in like a vacuum the dust of the world. It will toxify you. It's like microbacteria that just grows on the inside. Because it's so easy to just have negative conversation. Can I encourage you for this next season to have a different conversation on the inside? Instead of negative, send your words in the direction you want your life to go. I mean, send your words that way, like, I can do this. God is good. God has chosen me. John 15:16, you didn't choose me, I chose you, says the Lord, and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So God wants me to be successful. I know that He has plans for me. I'm a child of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper because He's got plans for me, and I know that He holds my future, and I'm excited to walk into it. So God, here we go, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's get moving. And all of a sudden your spirit goes, whoa! We're ready. Something takes place on the inside. You steer the inner conversation. That's exactly what the scripture says. Otherwise, we defeat ourselves. You say, where do you start? Start with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I would encourage you to learn a couple of hymns. And when your mind starts to go, just start singing the hymn in your heart. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, but things aren't going. Great is thy faithfulness. My paycheck was like, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Yeah, but there's nothing in your. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. There's this funny story. This lady. My head just goes to these things, so I'm sorry. But This lady, she doesn't have anything in her cupboards, and she learned that hymn. So she come out in the morning, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for providing morning by morning new mercy. And her neighbor's an atheist. He says, shut up. All I have needed thy hands. Thank you for providing. Your hand hath provided. The guy goes, shut up. It's in the morning. And so, well, the next morning she comes out. Thank you, God, for providing. All I have needed your hands hath provided. And this guy's saying, shut up. God's not going to provide nothing for you because there's no God. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, he's so mad. So before she comes out the third morning, said, I'm going to trick her because she needs to know that there's no God. God doesn't provide anything. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to provide it for her, and I'm going to let her know because God doesn't provide. I do. And so he goes to the grocery store, fills up some groceries, and puts the sack on her porch before she comes out in the morning. Well, she comes out, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you for providing. God! You did! You provided for me! Great is your faithfulness! And the guy jumps out from behind the bushes. No, God didn't provide nothing. I was the one that brought that. I put that there. I fooled you. She said, Lord, thank you for providing. And not only did you provide for me, you had the devil deliver it. Count your blessings. He said, well, Wayne, really, though, things aren't going that good in my life. Where do I start? Here it is. I ask myself this question, and I keep it in the forefront of my mind. It's helped me for years. And here, and I actually will put it up. What if you got up tomorrow morning, and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for yesterday? What if you got up tomorrow morning, and the only things you had left were the things you thanked God for the day before? You know, I think a lot of us wouldn't have much. All that does is it shows us that we're not a real thankful people, and we have to train our hearts in thankfulness. How many of you would agree? Yeah, we have to train our hearts in thankfulness. So I ask myself, Wayne, what do you want tomorrow to be around? And so I start there. I want my wife to be there. I want my family to be there. So I thank God for my wife. Thank God for my kids most of the time. Thank God for my grandkids. Thank God for this church. Thank God for where we live. Thank God that you give us friends. And so I just start thanking Him for all the things that I want around tomorrow. Because that question keeps coming at me. What if you got up in the morning, and the only things you have left are the things you thanked God for the day before? So what do you want remaining when all else is gone? Because we're so prone to complaining. And each time you complain, it's like leaking joy. And it starts to develop a toxic buildup. Well, how do you get rid of that? Well, one is you stop this, and then you have to backfill thankfulness. Romans 12 says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, you can stop this, which we're going to talk about in just a second, but you have to start depositing into your heart bank account thankfulness and gratefulness so that you build up a supply of thankfulness. Otherwise, we'll have a supply of gripes and complaints and belly aches. And so when someone says something, blah, and then we just because we got a huge account of belly aching. But if you just dry that up and start to increase your bank supply of thankfulness, then when something pokes you and demands a complaint, you say, you know, I have no supply of complaint, but I got a lot of gratefulness. I got a lot. I built that up. So here's your homework. Until Christmas. At least, let's do this. Let's put a moratorium on complaining. Let's fast belly aching. Let's put a strike on whining. Let's just stop all our gripes. What do you think? Wouldn't that be good? Just, that'll be the best Christmas gift. That'll be the best Christmas gift you can give to yourself and your family.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Regaining My Joy by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.